Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Morning.
I invite you to mute as we join together in singing our opening hymn, number 7, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repentant. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Amen. Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth
shall proclaim your praise.
Glory to the Father, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
I invite us to say together the Jubilate found on page 82 in the Book of Common Prayer or on your in your booklet. Be joyful in the Lord, all your lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with a song. Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call upon his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age.
Psalm for today is Psalm 106, insert or 741 in the Book of Common Prayer. Hallelujah. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy is forever.
Who can declare the mighty acts of the Lord?
Show forth all his praise.
Happy are those who act with justice.
And always do what is right.
Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have for your people.
And visit me with your saving help.
That I may see the prosperity of your elect and be glad with the gladness of your people.
That I may glory with your inheritance.
We have sinned as for our forebears did.
We have done wrong and dealt wickedly.
Israel made a bull calf at Horeb
and worshipped a golden image.
And so they exchanged their glory
for the image of an ox on the grass.
They forgot God, their Savior,
who had done great things in Egypt.
Wonderful deeds in the land of Ham.
And fearful things at the Red Sea.
So he would have destroyed them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach.
To turn away his wrath, consuming them.
A reading from Exodus. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us, who shall go before us? As for this Moses, the man who brought up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters. Bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it in a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. The people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshiped it and sacrificed to it. And said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them. And of you, I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it is with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll say together Canticle 21, "You Are God," which is found on page 95 in the Book of Common Prayer or in your booklet. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father. All creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you, the noble fellowship of prophets praise you, the white-robed army of martyrs praise you, throughout the world the holy church acclaims you, Father, our majesty and grandmother, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship,
in the Holy Spirit.
You, Christ, are the King of the Lord, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man, you did not shun the virgin womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people with the price of your own blood. Bring us with your saints to the glory of everlasting.
Second reading is from the book of Philippians. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you.
The word of the
Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to mute as we sing together the sequence hymn number 529, In Christ There Is No East or West.
St. Matthew, 22nd chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Once more, Jesus spoke to them a parable saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent another slave saying, tell those who have been invited, look, I have to go to my dinner and my oxen and my have got together with his father and everything is ready for the wedding banquet. They made light of it and went away, one to his farm and another to his business. While the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged and he sent his troops, destroyed those murderers and burned their city. then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy. Go therefore in the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. those days when I was reaching out all whom they had found, both good and bad, to the wedding hall of some of the guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man that there was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to him, "Friend, how'd you get in here without a wedding robe?" He was speechless. And the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, I don't know, it was maybe 10 years ago, I was called to jury duty in San Francisco. And I need you to picture this. When you come off the expressway in downtown San Francisco, there's a long ramp. And as you turn the curve to get on the street, you're supposed to go from 65 miles an hour to 30 miles an hour, just on the ramp. And picture that it's a Saturday morning, early morning. And when you go out towards the bay, you can see that the next 12 lights ahead of you are green and you're on your way to work. And what happened was a man who was standing on the shoulder or on the sidewalk ran across the red light. He was running when it was red for him and green for the driver. And not only that, but there was a bus station between the driver and the person who was the pedestrian. And there was a bus parked. So this man pops out from the in front of a bus in front of this car who has the green light. We were asked to find the man who was driving guilty. And they spent a lot of time saying that the man who was driving was late for work and his boss had told him, if you're late one more time, then you're going to be fired. And that didn't prove to me that he was breaking the speed limit. And he also said, well, he'd had a fight with his girlfriend that morning and maybe he was texting with her, but he refused to let us use his cell phone to find out. And I didn't find that a compelling reason that he may have been breaking the speed limit. And the two sides used the angle of the bus mirror and all sorts of stuff. And one lawyer said he was going probably 45 miles an hour. And yes, the man who ran across the street was in the wrong, but he was breaking the speed limit. So he also was wrong. The driver was wrong. But the other attorney said he was probably going about 33 miles an hour. And they're all showing us the scientific evidence. And what it comes down to is, was he guilty of breaking the speed limit and therefore responsible for the man's health care, or wasn't he? And we ended up a hung jury, and come to find out, we were the third jury in a row who were hung on this case. And what it comes down to is, can you cross the line a little bit and still be okay? How far do you have to cross the line when you're breaking the law to be responsible for the consequences? Is it ever okay to go 5 miles over the speed limit or 7 miles over or do you have to stick? And we do that with every single law that we're faced with. And I wonder, so who makes the laws and who enforces the laws and how do we know which laws we really want to follow and which not? And so we come to this story in Exodus today. And it's a familiar story, and we hear it not only in the reading, but we hear it in the psalm as well. This is such an important story that it needs to be told in several different versions. But the long and the short of it, last week we had the rumbling of thunder and the smoke and the clouds when God spoke from the mountain. And they said, no, let Moses do it instead. So Moses goes up the holy mountain and he's talking with God. Who knows what he's talking about? All we know is that it's been a long time, or in the Israelites' minds, a long time, or too long, or they don't really know what's going on. And so the Israelites go to Aaron, who is Moses' brother, and they say to him, you need to make another God for us, because we have no idea what happened to Moses. the, you know, mountain's still rumbling and thundering, and, you know, we have no idea if he or that God that he talks about is ever coming back. Please make an idol for us so we can continue on our journey. This idol can show us the way to go. And Aaron, who is Moses's brother, says, okay, hand me your jewelry, your necklaces, your earrings, your bracelets, get your wife's jewelry, your children's jewelry, and we'll make a golden calf. And that's where it always starts, isn't it? When we're not sure what's happening, or we don't like what's happening, and we decide to take matters into our own hands. Or we decide that, you know, maybe making up our own rules in these circumstances is merited. Or we think we know better than whoever's telling us what to do. And what we hear is that immediately God knows what has happened. Immediately God says, Moses, you have got to go down there. And God says, and that's it. I'm just going to send down fire, wipe them off the face of the earth. These people are not worthy. I'm done with them. And Moses says, wait. I understand that you're angry. Yeah, they broke your rules. And give them a chance. Your freedom from slavery in Egypt, what will people think if now you just wipe them off the face of the earth? Have a little compassion and patience with them as they learn to live in your ways, which is what God does. But still, that's a really harsh story, thinking about if we break the rules, make anything else our idol, which we know we do from time to time, you're wiped off the face of the earth. You're burned, you're toast. So then right after that, we get the gospel, today's gospel. And Jesus again is saying, the kingdom of heaven is like this king who throws this wedding banquet for his son. And he calls all the people, the influential people, his friends. And when it comes time, he sends the slaves out, the servants out to come gather them. The banquet is ready. Come, it's time to eat. And they start giving excuses. I really don't feel like it, or I had other plans, or I just want to go home and kick, you know, put up my feet and have a quiet evening. And the king is enraged. And so he says, go and get everybody else, anybody on the streets, bring them, the sick, the tired, the lonely, the poor, bring them in, because we've got this feast. The king steps out, the banquet hall is packed, and he sees a man in the back corner who's not wearing a wedding coat. And we don't even know what that is, but he's not wearing the wedding coat. And the king says, him, throw him into the outer darkness where there is wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we're like, wow, that's really harsh. I'm not sure I want to be invited to that banquet. But what we need to understand when we hear this, it's a parable. And it's about the kingdom of heaven. And the king has invited everybody to the banquet. And what we know is this is going to give us the image of God's heavenly banquet that we have on Sundays in the Holy Communion, that we feast together in this foretaste of the heavenly banquet. But what we also know is that Jesus is talking to the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the temple authorities, who are pretty proud of themselves and don't want much of anything to change. They've got the wealth, the power, the status, the prestige. They know all the rules. They look good in public. Everybody listens to them. But they're not listening to Jesus. They're following the outward rules, sort of, but they're not listening to the intent, to all the prophets before who said, this is what it means to be a child of God. It means in Isaiah and all the other prophets to care for the poor, the sick, the lonely, those in prison, those in need. And the temple authorities are not doing that. And so Jesus is telling this parable that the rich, the wealthy, the powerful, those who are self-satisfied are not interested in the heavenly banquet, but the others are. And so they come to feast together. But it also means that when we show up to that heavenly banquet, we've got to be wrapped in the cloak of Christ. We have to be immersed in this story. We have to be immersed in this way of life. And it's an invitation to come, come to be a part of this community, come to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, day by day, week by week. And what Jesus knows is that the people who are invited, many are invited, but few choose to come and follow him. Few choose to hear that the kingdom of heaven is here. Not in the sweet by and by, not a million years from now. The kingdom of heaven is now, and it's our responsibility to help Jesus build it. And how do we surround ourselves, immerse ourselves, fill ourselves with the stories of our faith? What we know is that those early disciples, they knew when Jesus was quoting Isaiah, they knew when Jesus was quoting the Psalms, when Jesus was quoting Moses, they knew those stories, they knew the implications, and Jesus was taking it one step further. He says, yes, the commandments are important, and I've come to fulfill them. That the most important law of the land is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so the invitation to the kingdom of heaven is also an invitation to action, to discipleship, to reach out to those who are sick or in need or in prison or are hungry. And we do that by immersing ourselves in the scriptures. We do that by spending time in prayer. We barely notice when it says, and Jesus went to pray, over and over and over again. And yes, it's fine and it's important and it's urgent and to pray for those who are sick, pray for those who are in need, pray for those in any kind of trouble. But we're also supposed to be in prayer. Paul says, pray without ceasing, where we listen. The people of Israel were saying, give us an idol that's going to show us the way, show us where to go. And what we know is if we spend time in silence, in prayer, immersed in God, that God shows us the way to go. Maybe not with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, but God does show us through the invitations we receive from others, through this community, through our friends, through people saying, have you ever thought about or have you ever tried? So the community is really important. The heavenly banquet is filled with people. It's not a Christian alone trying to do it. We need to be immersed in the community as well. That's why Jesus calls disciples right from the get-go. He's surrounded by people his entire ministry, because that's who we are, the body of Christ. And what they're saying is, if we do this, if we say yes to the invitation, if we choose not to follow the rules, because we know we all break them, but it's a way of life. It's an attitude. It's a commitment. It's giving your trust, your heart, your love to God, trusting in God 100%. And then we receive the gift that Paul has promised us. In the letter to the Philippians, Paul says, remember this, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is anything of excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. And he promises that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. And Paul isn't saying, don't worry, be happy, or this is a really easy thing to do. Paul knows it's not. Paul knows that it's life-threatening. He's writing this from prison. But right before that, he also wrote what we heard a couple of weeks ago, that Christ him, that Christ emptied himself to become a form of a slave, to serve others, to become obedient, even obedient unto death on a cross. And we're invited into that same way of life, to humble ourselves, to empty ourselves, to become obedient, even obedient unto the death of the cross. We can see why this invitation to the kingdom of heaven is not an easy thing to do. And sometimes we don't wanna, don't feel like it, think we have a better idea. But this invitation is also compelling because we know when we empty ourselves, when we immerse ourselves, when we clothe ourselves with Christ, then the kingdom of heaven opens to us. And God's love and grace and mercy and justice and compassion flow through us out into the world, creating the kingdom of heaven. And that's the invitation today. Are you willing to accept the invitation into the kingdom of heaven, into the wedding feast, into this community, and to wear the robe of Christ? Amen. I invite you into a minute of silence. I invite you to reaffirm your faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 96 in the Book of Common Prayer or in your booklet. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Where's the people? Please respond. The Lord be with you.
And also
with you.
Let us pray. Our Father,
Mother,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Show us your mercy, O Lord,
and grant us your salvation.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness.
Let your people sing with joy.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in you can we live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let your way be known upon earth.
Your saving health among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten,
nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God,
and sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
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 O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day our such blessing through our worship of you, that the week to come may be spent in your favor through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
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 O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your spirit upon all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Page 392 of the Red Prayer Book or on your printout. For all in peace we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and
for our families,
friends, and neighbors, for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims
of hunger, injustice,
and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those ministers, sick, friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
Our presiding bishop, our bishop, and for Lynn and Gary, and all other bishops and ministers.
For all who serve God and our church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, we especially remember Gary, Cheryl, Rachel, Morgan, Julie, and Ben. Jean, Pam, Alan, Carol, Betty, and Richard, Adrian, Kevin, Janet, Darlene, and John, Tammy, Peggy, and George, Bob, Jackie, Jen, Jim L, Brian, Dan, Ellen, Marietta, and Jim, Baby Eliza and family, Paige and Michael, Michael S., Stephen, Alicia, Jennifer, and family, Doug, Tammy S., Jerry, Phil, James, John, Amy, Lindsay, Holly, Sean, Kurt, Jean, F., Mario, Charlie, Raymond, Renee, Heather, Eva, the food pantry, students and teachers, our first responders, those suffering from addiction, and those in the military, and those who mourn.
Shelley, Ashlyn, and Betty.
Richard.
Hannah. Gina. Lindsay.
But Christopher and Sally.
Or Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
Our church family.
The season of beauty and harvest.
We will exalt God our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom.
Paul.
Janetta. Dell.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Who put their trust in you. O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to join together in the general thanksgiving found on page 101 in the Book of Common Prayer or in your booklet. Almighty God, the Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for your creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, as a means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercy that was truly thankful in our lives by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom you and the Holy Spirit are honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. I invite you to mute as we sing our closing hymn number 345, Savior Again to Thy Dear Name. blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
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 Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks.
Thanks be to God.